The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, countdown to the last weekend with more than two games in the NFL. That's a little bit depressing. Oh, well, let's have some fun. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. Let's have some fun. And John, you just had Nick in there. You should have made him listen to the opening to the show. Playing the Friday song. What the hell? You can't do that. That is a Blitz song to open every Friday.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Nick's worked here for a while.
Yeah, it's not
it
like he's
like
a rookie.
It's not really a mistake. It seems like it was intentional. Is all
it does.
Saying.
It does. It's guys, I get that some of the other shows have penis envy, but you can't be stealing our stuff.
It's like when Saturday Night Live started doing Black Jeopardy, even though I clearly invented Black Jeopardy, and Saturday Night Live was just like, don't have any ideas this week. What can we steal from the Blitz? I know, Black Jeopardy. And then they did it, just like that.
Yeah.
Now, Saturday Night Live has lawyers that, you know, are way better than any lawyers we can afford. So they knew that we couldn't fight it. So we didn't fight it, but I feel like we can get a better lawyer than Nick.
I would hope so. In fact, I know I can get a better lawyer than
I think
can.
We should sue the whole damn station. In fact,
well, no, I don't want to do that.
Why?
I just want to sue the show before us. That's a different thing.
I mean, I feel like the station's where the money is.
No, we want to sue them individually.
Nick doesn't really have anything, though.
Yeah,
he's a radio producer. What are we going to get out of him?
But he did it for Joel.
If we sue Gal, I've been to Gal's house. That's the kind of guy you want to sue. I've never been to Nick's house, but I would imagine it's not as nice as Gal's house. I'm almost certain, in fact. So
I think we should sue him and Joel, because Joel's name's on the show.
I haven't been to Joel's house. I mean, maybe. I still think you're passing up on the golden egg here, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with suing the station.
Why not?
Just personal reasons. We'll leave it.
You're worried about like coming to work the next day. We don't have to come back to work.
I'm not worried about coming back to work. I'm worried about that I have little pieces of the company that I'm involved in that you're going to sue.
Good news. Guess who just got named in the lawsuit?
Okay, you're fired. excuse me. I got up today and I had not heard this, that they were splitting up Mike and Mike. Greenberg was leaving.
Yeah, that's the deal. Apparently, there's no timetable apparently, but looks like it's gonna happen.
It's very strange, because basically. And I saw Jason Barrett's article on it, so I'm going based on that. But that it's Greenberg that's leaving, and then they haven't decided what they're going to do.
From what I understand, it's supposed to be Greenberg's going to do like a morning sports center type show but it's, I don't know, it's some sort of hybrid show. It's probably a terrible idea on their part. I think it's a bad idea to split up that show.
Yeah.
First of all, it's just a ratings monster and a money monster for those people. But, you know, they probably feel like they're the smartest guys in the room. And
well, I kind of get the sense that it means they just don't have any interest in the radio side of things. And we saw it when they moved Van Pelt.
Could be.
And you look at the lineup and what it was just a year and a half ago versus what it is now, and it's pretty clear that there's not a huge commitment there.
You might be right.
So, I don't know. John, what insight do you have on this that you can share with the people?
Nothing too much more than what SI reported. And, I mean, we got an article, I think I want to say, like in August, saying that this was coming up, and we were kind of bracing for it, but we didn't think like it was going to happen this soon. And I've been told later it's not going to happen anytime soon, but obviously some reports contradict that.
So, well, if it's out, I bet it happens pretty soon, would just be my guess. So what are we going to do? Are we going to sit here and see what they do, or does that open the door for us to do more local? Just curious.
We are going to have some discussions with ESPN when they come here for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't imagine that ESPN would want us doing any more local than we already do. We already cover up their whole day, except for Mike and Mike.
Well, but there's a reason for that.
Would we still be able to be an ESPN station if we played none of their local programming?
Yeah, there's a lot of those like that.
You know what? But speaking of, and we played a show last night after ours. It was the HD show came on after ours last night, right?
Yeah.
You're technically Cam's boss, right?
Yeah. What happened?
So now apparently, in the year of our Lord 2017, when asked, "How are you doing?" Cam thinks it's acceptable to say, "I'm all Gucci, man."
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been saying that for a very long time.
Why has no one punched him in the face?
I just call him Gucci.
That's the dumbest thing ever. That's the worst. Who says that? Have you ever heard someone say that?
I've never actually heard anyone say that.
I believe you'd get your ass kicked if you said that. What's going on with that? And no one's called him out for it? They just accept it? Oh, he just says, "I'm all Gucci." Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole life, and that's happening on our station. Did you know that?
I know that now.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
Not real crazy about
it. Not great, huh?
No, it's not something I feel good about.
I want that term banished. I mean, if you've got any kind of power, Jong, now's the time. We're going downhill in a hurry around here, if that's the way it's going to be.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
What?
He's a young guy. Kids say it.
I don't want to work with people who say things like that.
Well, you don't work with him, so.
He works at our station. See, Fred, this is why there's no way I'm going to be able to re-sign a contract here. This whole place is changing into a Gucci place. I'm not a Gucci guy. It's never going to work out. It's the tides are turning around here, and it's not in my favor. I can tell you that much.
Well, different audience. That's all.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm comfortable with it.
Man, everybody's like, "Oh, why don't you guys do more?" There's no way in hell, I would ever do mornings, ever.
I mean, there'd have to be a massive amount of money involved for me to do morning radio again. I do not like doing mornings.
The only positive of doing mornings is that you can then day drink the rest of the day. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, your day is open. That part is nice, but it's, especially for me, I mean, I stay up all night watching TV. You know, it becomes very difficult to have any kind of life after 9 p.m.
Yeah. I get up at 5:30 every morning, and that's nothing. I mean, I'd have to get up at least an hour and a half before that.
Right. And I mean, at some point you've got to prep a show.
Right.
You know, I guess people may think that we just show up and we, you know, play it by ear around here. That's not necessarily the case. We actually have to put in a little bit of work before we show up and do a radio show. That's where doing mornings becomes a real problem, because you have to wake up so early. And
especially if you got games the night before that you really need to be commentating on.
Quality of life with morning radio is not great. And that's why, you know, morning guys get paid well because it's not an easy thing to do. I started out doing mornings, and it's so much easier to do afternoon drive. It's so much easier.
Yeah, I kind of like this time slot. It works out well. It keeps me from day drinking.
Yeah.
I have plenty of time to work on other stuff. And then after the show, by the time I get home, I can go out and do stuff, all the fun things. So,
and let's even if you get super hammered tonight or on Thursday night, last night.
I got plenty of time to recover.
You got time to be right by the time it's time to get on the air. I mean, you're good.
Yeah. I don't really have any. If I had to, and yeah, there was a lot more money, I'd think about it. But
yeah,
I don't have any interest in that, man. I like where we are. It's a good spot. 713-780 ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, a lot of people explaining what the all Gucci man means. Okay,
I don't care what it means. It's dumb. It's not appropriate. It's not an appropriate thing to be said. Yeah, Dan says Gucci means good, chill, cool, awesome. No, that's just a stupid thing to say. It's a stupid thing to say. I find it unacceptable.
You're a little overly judgmental here the last couple days. You're not allowing people in a Deadpool because you've never heard of them. Which, by the way, Patrick Creighton was upset that Vivian Campbell was stricken from the list. And now you're talking about words that kids say.
Yeah, kids are stupid, Fred.
Okay.
I know, I've got two of them.
Yours are little, though.
God, you know what my kid did today? And this is the worst, because I'm on my own. It's me and my youngest kid.
Uh-oh, so you're one-on-one.
My wife and older kid are in Seattle, and they'll be back on Sunday. So I'm, you know, I'm doing the best I can. We went to the gym today. There's like a kids club at my gym. So he was hanging out, you know, at the gym while I was working out, and got home, and I'm going up to take a shower. So he's going to play in the backyard with the dog while I'm taking a shower. I get out of the shower and dude walks in wearing nothing but his t-shirt and a pair of socks, and he's got poop all over him.
Oh.
He says, I said, what happened? I was playing in the backyard with the dog. I was having a lot of fun, so I didn't want to come inside, so I decided to try to poop outside in the yard. And clearly he failed miserably at it. So now I'm just out of the shower. Now I've got to put him in the shower. And then, of course, after, you know, I'm handling all his clothes and stuff like that, I don't feel clean. So I just hop back in the shower again and re-clean myself. I feel like that's the kind of thing my wife would have never – it never would have happened if she were here. But because it's just me and him, he felt like taking that chance. And it failed miserably. I told you, kids are really stupid.
I see. This explains a lot. I think you should just treat this like a little therapy session. Just get it all out. Maybe it explains a lot that you've been having to parent by yourself.
Yeah, it's rough.
But what sucks about that is your wife's out of town with one of the kids. Is she taking both? It's dream week.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, I got a dog to take care of. That's it. But no, it didn't work out that way.
Oh, well. Bet if you had some Raising Cane's, you'd feel better.
Yeah, I would feel better. And that actually may be the way it goes tonight. I may stop by Raising Cane's. There's one by my house. They're all over the city. And if you haven't tried them, it's a great time to do it. Tonight, in fact, is a great night to do it. And let me tell you about Raising Cane's. They focus on one thing. They've got one love. And that one love is making really kick-ass chicken fingers. and they are masters of it. They use only the highest quality ingredients. They're serving fresh, never frozen, premium chicken tenderloins that are marinated for 24 hours, hand battered and cooked to order. And they are perfect for any event. They do tailgate events. They'll do catering from 25 to 100 fingers or more if you need. And they'll be ready several minutes after you order. You don't have to call ahead and, you know, put an order in advance 3 weeks out. No, they got you taken care of, guys. And the sauce, don't get me started on this sauce. It's amazing. It is the it's the perfect sauce. It's great with the chicken. It's great with the French fries. It's great with the bread. I put the sauce on everything there except the coleslaw because I don't eat coleslaw. I've heard they've got good coleslaw. Coleslaw's not for me, but apparently it's very good there too if you're a coleslaw kind of person. I do like the lemonade, the fresh squeezed lemonade they do. Listen, this place is doing the best stuff. They're using the best ingredients, and they care about the food. They want to make sure that you're happy and a satisfied customer. That right now they're taking care of the customers extra too. You could win $100,000 by playing the Peel the Love game. All you got to do is collect the letters to spell C-A-N-E-S. You'll win $100,000. One in three is going to win Raising Cane's food instantly during the Peel the Love game. You got to love those odds, and you're going to love this chicken. Go check them out. Raising Cane's all over Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Happy Friday. Did you see the reaction to the Chargers' new logo last night?
Yeah, not great. Although, I from what I understand, they're keeping the lightning bolt. Like, this is just like a secondary thing.
Yeah, it was just... And I'm not even sure it's official. They said it was official, but I'm not sure it really is. Mainly because of the reaction. I think my favorite one, did you see what the Tampa Bay Lightning tweeted about it?
No.
This was the Tampa Bay Lightning's tweet. Checks mentions, squints, clears throat. For the record, us and the Dodgers are just friends. It kind of does look like a lightning bolt went, you know, at least if you're Tampa, you're the male in that one. And the Dallas Stars tweeted one out too with the Cowboys logo in green. It says, "This okay with you guys?" That was pretty good. So at least some people have a sense of humor about it. But looks like they got a new coach too.
They did, and I mean, I guess it's down in San Francisco. But I thought at the beginning of this process, Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan were going to be the two hottest prospects, and now maybe one of them gets a job. And there's a lot of hiring going on. Listen, any coaching hire is a risk, but there's a lot more risk being taken than I would have expected. And, you know, San Diego and L.A., I get they want to firm something up quickly. Maybe you don't want to wait around until after the playoffs, but
what?
To me, you wait for the best guys.
Why not? I mean, what difference does it make?
It's not like college where you got to be recruiting.
Right. Maybe you want to get your whole staff, but maybe they couldn't get Wade Phillips' defensive coordinator if they didn't have this guy on board. I think there's good candidates out there for all these positions. So I'm a little surprised by a couple of them, frankly. I especially San Diego, because that guy kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, suddenly he's an interim coach. Those guys don't want him. He went from, what, quarterbacks coach to head coach, right?
Running backs coach.
Running backs coach, yeah.
He was a running backs coach at the beginning of the year, became the offensive coordinator like 4 or 5 weeks in, and finished the season as OC.
And just curious, did they get better?
The running game was solid.
But did the offense get better when?
No, the offense was terrible.
And okay, I'm just asking. That's all.
I mean,
because when you make a change, you want it to be better, right?
What's funny is, I mean, he was like a pretty hot commodity around the league. It seems like everybody wanted to hire this guy, and I just it's weird to me when you consider, you know, where Buffalo was all season, basically, which middle of the road offensively, and I mean near the bottom in pass offense. I look at San Diego, and you know, the one good thing I would see at San Diego is, oh well, at least they got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah,
you know, they've got some nice young guys on defense that may be growing into something good. But you know, when we were ranking these jobs, we were like, well, the one thing that keeps San Diego kind of high on the list is they've got a quarterback. And
may I correct you? The LA Chargers.
Oh, sorry. Well, at the time it was San Diego.
Yeah, but they're moved out now, right? They got the hell out of there. They didn't waste any time. It's like, see ya.
Yeah, I thought it was very strange.
Yeah, I don't look at any of these hires and say, oh, I love this. I guess the one I probably like best is probably the job that was the most attractive, and that would have been the Broncos.
Yeah.
I like Vance Joseph. I think he's going to be a hell of a coach if he gets the right people around. I mean, I like that he's already got McCoy to be the offensive coordinator, so that one I like. The other ones, I'm all just kind of, eh.
Yeah.
And the chief special teams coach was getting interviews. When has that ever worked? One time.
Once.
One time that's worked. By the way, some breaking news. Not that breaking. Actually broke at 2:07. The NFL has adjusted its playoff schedule as a result of the forecast in Kansas City. Due to public safety concerns, in light of the forecasted storm this weekend, which I think it's Winter Storm Jupiter or some garbage that they gave to it.
Yeah.
The game has been moved to 7:20 p.m. Eastern, or 7:20 p.m. our time. Moving from a noon to a 7:20.
Wouldn't you think that Kansas City, who has a pretty good home field advantage, is playing a team that's also very good, wouldn't you think that they'd want the weather to be as bad as possible? Especially if you're, I mean, you're going up against Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. Like, I'd like it to be really windy, snowy, whatever.
Well, it's not like the Steelers aren't used to playing in that crap.
Right.
But
any kind of adversity you can throw at
it's
them.
Not going to be windy. It's like a 5-mile-an-hour wind. So that's not going to affect
anything.
So it's
just snow?
It's freezing rain is what it is. So it's just going to be miserable.
That's all the more. If I'm Kansas City, I like that.
But that doesn't really slow you down that much.
Freezing rain is not an easy thing to throw a football with.
It depends on how hard the rain is.
If it's hard enough that they're going to move the game, I'm guessing
they're worried
hard.
About it. It's an ice storm warning, which okay. But it says ice storm warning in effect all weekend. Freezing rain is forecast all weekend with the heaviest accumulations expected Saturday night and into Sunday morning. So they're more worried about Sunday morning when all those people are trying to get on the roads.
Yeah.
They're
too worried about people, not worried enough about football.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I don't care. It doesn't matter how much I like a team, AJ. I'm not going to a game in that crap. You have to be the kind of fan who wears face paint and has Chiefs fan 266 in your Twitter handle. And there's no way.
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call. Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going sports.
Listen to you all the time, man.
Thank you.
Which one of y'all is the one with the inability to call the guy Gucci name?
Me.
Gucci or whatever.
That's me.
Man, boy, well, you gotta be able to conform a little bit, man. Come on now.
How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 39.
You're 39? You say it's all Gucci?
No, I'm not called Gucci. If anything, I'd be called MC Hammer. Anyway, you sound kind of a whiner, bub, on air, man.
I am.
You're better than that, bub. Come on.
No, I'm not. I'm whiny. I'm a complainer. This is what I do.
Hey, man, the Cowboys about to put it on them this weekend.
Well, all right. We'll agree to disagree on that, too. Me and this caller don't agree on much, so I hate to say.
Well, if you wouldn't whine so much.
I know. I'm very whiny. That's true. Like he said it like it was going to be something that I was going to defend myself against. But no, I complain about things. I complain about everything all the time. Anything I don't like, I actually have a medium to complain, so I do it.
It's part of your idiom.
Yeah.
It's just,
if I sound whiny, okay. I don't care.
It's like somebody called in and said, Fred, you're old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure am.
Hey, you drink a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Broncos fan here, can you tell me a little bit more about Vance Joseph? He's been a guy that, he was here for a while, but he's a guy that a lot of people have said for years had head coaching potential, just kind of had to go through the ranks. I think he will, most importantly, if you're a Broncos fan, as long as Elway's there, he's going to have a lot of control over everything. And, yeah, I think he's the kind of guy who will work well with Elway because he'll be able to deal with the fact that, you know, he's a really good defensive coach. He's hired a really good OC. That's why that's my favorite hire so far out of all these. I'll tell you what, throw this out there. If this Bill O'Brien crap is true, although there's not any jobs left for him, I'd take Kyle Shanahan. I think it's time for him to be a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Make that happen. I guarantee that offense is going to average more than 17 points a game.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter was like, I don't want anything to do as long as he stays as far away from me as possible, as far away from the Texans as possible. I'm like, you wouldn't want the guy who's running literally the best offense in the NFL. You don't want that guy here? You really think he could get 34 points a game out of these? And the answer is no.
But he might get
24? But I promise you, I mean, Bill O'Brien, the offensive guru, is literally getting half as many points out of these guys as Shanahan's getting out of the Falcons. And I think Bill O'Brien, as far as offense and this offensive guru nonsense, he's been outed as a fraud. And if maybe Kyle Shanahan is a fraud, but I mean, he's at least done something to make me believe to begin with. Bill O'Brien, yeah. I didn't see the resume coming in.
But that's the difference. I think with Kyle Shanahan, you see a body of work as an OC in several different places with success. Some places not as successful as others. But what he's done this year with the team, and really over the last couple of years with that team, is very impressive. I think he's earned it. Where was Bill O'Brien's resume in this? 1 year as an OC in New England with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then he coached Penn State, and they weren't that exciting on offense. So I think pedigree-wise, as far as offense goes, it's not close.
You know how much better the Falcons were than the next best offense in the league this year?
It's pretty significant.
4.5 points per game between number one and number two. That's the same difference between number two and number 12. I mean, they were number one by a mile, by a country mile even, the best offense in the league. And
why is a country mile longer?
I don't know. I just said that because I've heard it.
And I've been in the country many times, and it seems the same.
I think it's about the same, but I think in the country maybe it just feels longer. Although to me a city mile is way longer because
you got
to
go around corners.
I'll put something in my app, and it'll say, "Oh, it's 4 miles away. That's going to take 18 minutes." In the country, something 4 miles away would take like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
you know. So, the country mile thing, it's a stupid saying. I'm with you.
I don't know why that just occurred to me, but I've always wondered where that came from. All right, guys, Houston Can Academies, terrific school, and now that they're back in school, they need your help. The Houston Can Academies, they take in kids who have dropped out of other schools and kids who had issues at other schools and a lot of really good kids that were probably never going to finish school if not for Houston Can Academies. Well, they take them in, they help them out, they work around whatever problems got them there in the first place, and they're turning out great kids who go on to do great things and become terrific adults and a real important part of our society. And who knows where these people would have wound up without getting help from Houston Can Academies. Well, you can help them. You can help them develop into the people they become. And it's real simple. You're just going to donate a vehicle, and they're going to come and tow it free of charge. They'll process all the paperwork. Your donation's tax deductible. And no matter what kind of shape it's in, they'll take cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, four-wheelers, you name it. If it's just been sitting out there and you've been wondering what to do with it, make the call. If you can hear my voice on the radio, make the call. They'll come and tow it. Doesn't matter where you are in this great state or even over in Louisiana. And if you donate today, $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, just their way of saying thank you. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple texts, one for you, one for me. A.J., do you think McGregor and Mayweather is going to happen?
No. I said a long time ago I don't think it'll happen. And
well, it's just been rumors of offers.
Oh, I know.
And, crap,
and
so.
The Dana White came out and he has made an offer to give both men $25 million to fight.
It's a huge pay cut for Mayweather.
Exactly. He got $32 million to fight Andre Berto. He got $220 million to fight Manny Pacquiao. He's not going to let Dana White make all that money off of him and only take $25 million. And also, I don't know that Floyd has had a fight in the last 10, 12, maybe longer years where his opponent made the same amount of money as him. Won't happen. I said before, zero chance. I still think zero chance.
Yeah, I think these are just two guys who like attention, and this is a good way for them to get it.
Well, and Dana White's in that conversation, too.
Oh, yeah, he likes it, too. And it gets attention to him. It gets attention to the UFC. 4-9 asked something that I wanted to get to today. Said, hey, Fred, what do you think of Sammy's and Race Park changing up its stakes races because of the outbreak in Louisiana? The opening weekend stakes races are being postponed. They're still going to have races, but the problem is there is an outbreak in Louisiana of the equine herpes virus, which they're trying to keep those horses from spreading the virus here. And there's in these big stakes races, a lot of these horses, the owners have been paying money to get in now for months. So you don't want to – the last thing you want is four horses out there for a $50,000 race. And the last thing you guys as fans want to see is a four-horse race. And unfortunately, I was watching Delta Downs the other night. It happened two or three times because they had to scratch five or six horses out of the race. So it's just it's an unfortunate thing, but it's smart to push it back so that you'll get better horses when they do get here. And hopefully this thing will blow over pretty quickly. But it's a pain in the ass. And you just don't want to get one of those to get here and spread it, because then you're going to wind up with the same thing with three and four horse races. Let's grab a phone call. Sean, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Deportes.
Hey, guys. I was just calling. I was just giving you a call. I know a lot of people talk about the Cowboys-Packers game, the Patriots and Texans games, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about the Falcons-Seahawks game. So my question, and just wanted to get your opinion on it, can the Seahawks pull off a victory in Atlanta, or is Atlanta just too strong? And you know, if that is the case, out of the four teams that are left in the NFC, who do y'all think actually has the best chance of actually going to the Super Bowl and representing the NFC, and why? I just wanted to ask that, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
I feel like I've answered these questions three times this week.
I think we have two.
We've talked a lot about this game.
Yeah, this is actually my favorite game of the week. It's my favorite betting game of the week, and it's my favorite. Yeah, this is just the game I want to watch the most. If Earl Thomas were healthy, I would say absolutely. And listen, for me to say that they can't beat the Falcons, that's not true. They could easily beat the Falcons. I think the odds would favor the Falcons pretty heavily without Earl Thomas. Think about when you watch the Falcons. Where do their big plays come from? It's Julio Jones slants going right to where Earl Thomas would be. And a guy like that is just so valuable that when he's gone, there's no one to replace him. And remember that Richard Sherman stays on one side. The Falcons, I'm guessing, will line Julio up on the opposite side. And whenever Julio's not lined up against Richard Sherman, I think he's going to feast. As far as who has the best chance in the NFC, I'm starting to it's hard for me because the pedigree would say believe in Seattle or Green Bay the most, but I'm starting to believe I think if I had to pick right now who I think is going to play in the Super Bowl, I think it's the Falcons.
See, I think that I always question teams on three levels, okay? Preseason intensity, regular season intensity, playoff intensity. I've never liked Matt Ryan in the playoffs. I think he's been a different player this year. But until he goes out and can beat a team like Seattle,
yeah,
I'm going to be skeptical. I think they're going to win. Now, I wouldn't touch that game. Well, I'll tell you what, I will touch that game from a betting purpose, but not against the spread. Because I think it's going to come down to a one-score game at the end of the game. I think the Falcons are going to win, but it's okay. Is it a field goal that wins it and they don't cover, or is it a touchdown that wins it and they do cover? And I think these teams are pretty close. Seattle's going to be able to score against these guys. And the weakness in that Seattle offensive line, it'll be okay against the Falcons. And if they run the ball like they did last week, I think it's going to be up and down. It's going to be a lot of points, which might give you a hint as to which way I'm leaning on betting that game. But yeah, we'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, I'm going to talk about Whitmire's. Great place to watch games, by the way. And if you haven't been over there, it's such a great setup. Full bar and lounge. You can try all their great products. You can buy a bottle and take it home with you if you want. And they're open right now. They're open Thursdays and Fridays from 3 until 9. If you're driving home, you're heading out that way, it's like, you know what? Don't go home, because they'd love to see you at Whitmire's. They don't want to see you at home. Nobody wants to see you at home. They're all sick of you. But Whitmire's, they love you. Go by. They're open today and tomorrow. Or they're open Thursday and Fridays from 3 until 9. Tomorrow from noon until 6. You can see all their great products. And they're also in a lot of the stores around town. So if you get a chance, pick up a bottle and see what you think. How about this? You're going to have a bachelor party. Or you got a friend coming in town that you haven't seen for years and you want to have a party for him. How about booking Whitmire's? How cool would that be? Birthday party. You can go in there, try everything. They have great accommodations for private events. They'll make you a great deal for that. And you'll look like a genius, because whoever it is going to go and they're going to love it. And we talked about Sam Houston next week. Hey, go out there, have a few at Whitmire's, and then head out to the track and join us. It's a perfect setup. It's Houston's first distillery. It's Houston's best distillery. Visit them today at 16711 Hollister or at Whitmire's.com. That's Whitmire's.com. Cash flow, Buddha and shelter. Whenever
frustrated, I'm a hijack Delta. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back on The Blitz. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We're going to have big-time athletes, and there's a pretty impressive list on there, by the way, of athletes. Celebrities, all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com starting at just $125. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. And guys, if you have not got your tickets yet, don't wait till the last minute. These things are going to go, and I know what's going to happen. I do the same thing all the time. It's like, I'll just wait till that week and make sure I don't have anything going on, and then, oh damn, it's sold out.
Yeah,
that happens all the time. So. And there's a lot of different ticket packages, too. That's the general admission that gets you in. You'll be able to look up and see AJ and me up in the VIP suite from there. We'll probably wander down and say hello, I'm guessing.
You might.
I will, because I like the people. But, yeah.
I'm staying where the top shelf booze are.
Well, of course. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And aren't we supposed to have some beer today?
5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
5 o'clock.
Awesome. And RJ Bell at 5:30. Let's
5 o'clock hour is going to be better than this, I think. Then
you think? Well,
yeah.
We'll have beer and RJ, and we're going to talk about all the games.
Yeah,
I'll just tease this for when we talk about the games. I really like an idea you have. So, for the people,
I also think we need to at some point talk about Joseph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson in a movie.
Yeah,
and whether or not it is acceptable for white guys to play black guys in movies or TV shows, like if it's a historical figure, like an actual real person, and if it's okay for black guys to play white guys. I need to figure this out.
Well,
I'm okay. Social media has given me a double standard.
All right. Well, I'd like to hear what your thoughts on this are. I want to go on record, though, is when I first heard that Idris Elba might play James Bond, I got very excited.
I like that too.
But people got pissed off about it.
You know what?
Fictional character.
That's what's different. James Bond is not a real live, at least a former live person. He's a character. So,
but he's a very established character. That,
right. But we've seen it, like there's some superheroes that when they did the Fantastic Four remake. And Michael B. Jordan became the new Human Torch.
Right.
It's always been a white character. When he wasn't on fire, he was a white character. Then he became a black character. I don't have a problem with that because the Human Torch isn't a real life person. Twitter has a very big problem with Joseph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson because Joseph Fiennes is very white. Very white.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Okay.
Wasn't Michael Jackson pretty white at the end?
He was white in pigmentation.
Okay. So.
But Michael Jackson was still of African-American descent at the end of the day. Now, the counterpoint to this is the biggest stage show in the United States over the last 2 years has been Hamilton. There's like a ridiculous wait on Broadway to get tickets to Hamilton. Like, rich and famous people can't go see Hamilton at the drop of a hat.
So we can't get in.
We couldn't get in.
Damn.
You and I would not be able to go see Hamilton. We're not rich nor famous enough.
Plus, it's in New York.
So. Right. And now, Aaron Burr, who was the man who – he was the – third vice president of the United States. He is the man who dueled with Alexander Hamilton and killed him. He is very clear. He was the vice president of the United States like in the 1800s. So that tells you the world we lived in. Clearly a very white man. He will be played by Wayne Brady, a very black man. And to that, Twitter had a very positive reaction.
Well,
I'm curious where the line is drawn. I don't know.
I think part of it is because we have seen that Hollywood has consistently filled roles for minorities with white guys. And that's been...
But rarely do they fill black roles with white guys.
Yeah, that is
like,
pretty rare.
They'll try and do a bunch... Like, they'll do a Native American. They'll throw a white guy out there. Like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Who's a British guy. And, oh, yeah, he's an Indian. Or maybe like with a Latino guy, they may try to sneak a white guy in there to play a Latin character. Rarely do we see a white guy try to sneak in and play a black guy. That just doesn't happen.
No, but I think that a lot of the complaints last year turned out to be valid to me about minorities not being represented, especially at the Academy Awards. So I get why people are bitching about it. I don't care. I mean, I want the best actor.
Yeah.
Well, if you make a new Shrek and you use Cedric the Entertainer as Shrek, am I going to be mad? No, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I just want the best guy. But I understand why people might be up in arms over that.
Now, what about Marvel has kind of done this with Doctor Strange? You guys watch Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
I have not seen it yet, but it's about to come out, so I'm
really good.
That's what
I've
heard.
My kids liked it too.
We were like three times going to go, and something came up, and now it's not in the theater.
So for the ancient one, they used Tilda Swinton, who is a female, and in the comic books, they don't really say where the ancient one, what kind of race he is, but it's a male, and from the drawings, it looks he's supposed to be Asian. So they casted a white female for a male Asian role. And one of the characters, Wong, in Doctor Strange, defended the casting, saying that casting a woman to play a man's role is diversity. So,
well,
there's that.
I did find it interesting that everyone else at that school was Asian, except for the master, the ancient one, was not Asian.
So that's kind of similar to what they did with, I guess, Joseph Fiennes. Similar. But
like, if they would have gone with an Asian woman, wouldn't that have been more acceptable?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, this is a cartoon character, though.
Yeah, being a real person.
Yeah, I get that.
Although he's a real dead person.
So. Right. Well, I mean,
he was kind of a cartoon character.
Aaron
too.
Burr also dead. Yeah. As I mentioned, he was alive in 1804. So that was, I mean, he's been dead for some time.
Interesting question.
Yeah. A lot of people bringing up Robert Downey playing a black guy, but again, remember this is a
no. Robert Downey was a white guy playing a black guy.
Right.
And let's also keep in mind that's not a real character. I mean, this
and it was a comedy.
Yeah, it was a comedy show. So, Bryce says Jackson was black and white. How about Denzel first half of the movie, Mark Wahlberg second half?
Well, that's not.
It's not the worst I've viewed. I watched that Mark Wahlberg movie, the Deepwater Horizon.
I watched that the other night too.
I kind of like, and this is where I'm torn. I kind of like Mark Wahlberg when he doesn't talk like he's from Boston.
Yeah.
I really hate Mark Wahlberg when he does talk like he's from Boston. But I do want to see that Patriots Day movie about the Boston bombing.
Yeah,
I've got really mixed feelings.
What did you think of Deepwater Horizon?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was Hollywooded up, and like because I used to work on an oil rig.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's
kind of why
I
wanted your opinion.
I mean, obviously, I wasn't out there. I don't know what it was like, but they made it seem like it was this. When you see some of the pictures from afar, like on the movie, it looks like no one could survive it.
Right.
And in reality, there were 11 people died.
Yeah.
But when you see some of the explosions and the Hollywooding of it, it looks like everybody on that rig would be dead.
There was no way. That part kind of, although I thought they did a good job with the Cajun accents on a lot of the guys, including John Malkovich, who it took me a few minutes to recognize him. That's how good he was. But on the whole, I thought it was okay.
It wasn't anything special.
But it's just, hey, it was on. Watch it.
Yeah. I checked it out. It was pretty deep. But I do want to watch. In the commercial, like the preview to that Patriots Day, it's the worst of the worst kind of Mark Wahlberg. Like, it's the worst Boston accent. It's worse than he's got in Ted. I mean, it's.
Which.
You know what really trips me out? Chris Evans in his real accent. He's from Boston. He has a heavy Boston accent.
Oh, I'm glad he keeps it hidden. I don't need that.
All right.
That's the worst accent to me.
Yeah, the worst. It is. It's especially when women have it.
Oh, no, thank you.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.